Good morning, everyone. This recording is for Sunday, June the 7th, Trinity Sunday. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, before the foundation of the universe and the beginning of time, you are the triune God. God the Father and author of creation, God the Son, the eternal word of salvation, and God the life-giving spirit of wisdom. Guide us to all truth by your Spirit, that we may claim all that Christ has revealed and rejoice in the glory he shares with us. Glory and praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis. We begin with the first verse of the first chapter and will continue through the fourth verse of the second chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the skies and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And so it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So by the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you wish to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, I invite you to do so now. I shall read to you the Gospel acclamation. Alleluia! Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God's glory fills the whole earth. Alleluia! And the Gospel reading this morning is written in the 28th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 6th verse and with the 16th verse and continuing through the 20th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And let us pray. Sing into our hearts, O Spirit, that we will hear the holy word of life. Dance with us, O Jesus, that we will follow where you lead. And mold us, O God, to live more as you created us to be. Tell us who we are and to whom we belong, so that we may live with gratitude for all that you have done. Amen. It was the week of Christmas, 1968. Three men, Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders, left Earth for a breathtaking voyage around the moon and back. We had just seen another significant launch from Cape Canaveral, but this first manned voyage around the moon was 51 years ago. Within months, other U.S. astronauts would actually set foot on the moon, but this was a pioneering effort. The takeoff was flawless. That is remarkable in itself, considering the problems in our space program over the years. It is hard to realize how quickly back then we came to take the concept of space travel for granted. Those early successes seemed so easy. "This is Apollo 8 coming to you from the moon," reported Frank Borman in the first of six telecasts beamed from the rocket to Earth. It was a stunning achievement for our space program. Something occurred on that first flight, however, that will always make it memorable to many of us. On Christmas Eve, as the Apollo rocket closed in on the moon and the television cameras gave us the sharpest details of the moon's surface ever seen up to that time, Borman, Lovell, and Anders took turns reading the first 10 verses from the book of Genesis. These verses, which we have just read and heard this morning, begin with these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. The darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." What a magnificent passage. Think of the meaning of those words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Totally incredible. God spoke, and the world was created. This is the first thing we need to see today on this Trinity Sunday. The God who is the God of heaven and earth spoke. God spoke. Author David Needham, in his book, Close to His Majesty, tells how, as a boy, he dreamed of one day being connected to something bigger and more powerful than himself. He dreamed of rolling down the highway, high in the cab of an 18-wheeler, or passing under the checkered flag at the Indianapolis 500. The closest he could come to such examples of unleashed power on his family's Southern California ranch, however, was a team of Missouri mules. You see, on their ranch each year, they had to spray some 60 acres of citrus fruit with pesticide. This was long before concerns about DDT and such had arisen. They accomplished this spraying of the trees by using a ponderous spray rig pulled by a team of these mules. Snapping the reins, young Needham would shout, "Gee-haw!" and watch those mighty mules lean forward and dig deep into the soft soil. The wheels would begin to lurch forward and slowly start to roll. "What amazing feeling to be part of that," he wrote later, "to be joined to something so powerful, even if it were only a team of mules." As a young man, this is how he thought of God's power. He imagined God ramming the world into being with a mighty shove. But as he read the Bible more carefully, he discovered something quite different. he discovered that God only had to speak to accomplish his great feats. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. For the first time, David Needham understood the nature of real power. God spoke. The heavens and the earth came into being with just a word from God. God spoke, and the world was created. What a magnificent thought. But there is more. God spoke again, and a nation was founded. The God of creation is also the God of relation. The creator of the world relates to the world and the people he created. God spoke to a nomad named Abram and told him to go off to a far country where he would be the father of a great people. That people, of course, would be the people of Israel, chosen by God to be a light to the nations of humanity. God spoke to Abram, his name before God gave him the name Abraham. And then God continued to speak to Moses and Elijah and Samuel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and to Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and many others whose experiences with God are recorded in our Bible. That is why this book is so precious to us. It is not a book of magic or even of hidden meanings. It is not a book of philosophy, psychology, or social science, though many books on these subjects have been derived from it. The Bible is the record of God's speaking through the ages to men and to women, seeking to communicate through flawed humanity his plan and his purpose. We do ourselves a great disservice by our neglect of this magnificent document. I love the story about the Sunday school teacher who was trying to teach the Ten Commandments to her young students. She thought it would be most helpful if she provided them with some concrete illustrations. "Early one Saturday morning, Billy's parents were going out," she said to her students. "Billy's dad asked him to mow the lawn while they were gone. When his parents returned, however, the lawn had not been touched." She asked the class which commandment Billy had disobeyed. Instantly, the class responded in one voice, "Honor thy father and mother." "Good," said the teacher. And she gave another example. Jessica was in a store with her mother. When her mother wasn't looking, Jessica slipped a candy bar into her pocket. "Which commandment?" the teacher asked. Quickly, the class answered, "Thou shalt not steal." "Great," said the teacher, and she continued. Jimmy had a bad temper, and he was mean. One day he got angry with his little sister and grabbed her pet kitten. Then he threatened to pull its tail off. This time, the students were stumped. Finally, one little fella piped up and shouted, "What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." As Art Linkletter used to say, kids can say the craziest things. Now, I'm not going to give you a quiz on the Ten Commandments today, but we need to understand that the Bible is a living document. It is the very source of our life as a community of faith. It is the cord that continues to bind us together as the people of God who are called to worship and to follow. Our Bible is the holy word of God and is not to be neglected nor disregarded. 200 years ago, there was a Scottish regiment quartered in Edinburgh Castle. Some of the officers were devout men. Each evening they gathered together and drank a toast. The toast went like this: a clean sword and a dirty Bible. Now that may seem like a strange kind of toast, a clean sword and a dirty Bible. The clean sword, though, referred to their hope that they would not have to use their swords in battle and dirty them. The dirty Bible, on the other hand, referred to a Bible that had been smudged and tattered from constant use. The Bible was not simply a good luck charm to these soldiers. It was their confidence, their conscience, and their constant companion. We would do well if it were the same to us as well. God spoke and a world was created. God spoke and a nation was founded. But there's more. God spoke again and humanity was redeemed. The first major event in the ministry of Jesus was his baptism at the hand of John the Baptist. Remember, at that baptism, there was an unexpected guest speaker. It was God. A voice came from heaven saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now, we don't know who might have heard that voice besides Jesus. Did John the Baptist? Did others who were also there to be baptized? It makes no difference, really. What it signifies is this: God spoke in a special way in Jesus, his Son, the eternal word of salvation. Remember those words we began with? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As we remember, John's gospel, which gives us our most complete understanding of Jesus' ministry, begins with the same three words, except John's writing begins like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Friends, the light John is referring to is Jesus. He is the Word of God. John tells us that Jesus did not merely speak the truth. He is the truth. He did not merely show the way. He is the way. He does not merely show us how we may have life. He is life. A married couple was having problems at one point, and they went to their pastor for counseling. At one point in the counseling session, the husband said to the wife, "I have given you everything you have ever asked for, a new home, a new car, all the clothes you could wear," and the list went on. When he had finished and took a big sigh, the wife said sadly, "That much is true. You have given me everything but one thing, yourself." God did not make that same mistake. After he had given us the wonder of creation, after he had opened up his dialogue with humanity through the law and the prophets, after he did for us everything he could do, he went that one step further. He gave us himself. What amazing good news that is. Charles Swindoll tells a true story about a kindergarten teacher who was determined to figure out how much religious training her new students had. While talking with one little boy, to whom the story of Jesus was obviously brand new, she began describing Christ's death on the cross. When asked by the little boy what a cross was, she picked up some sticks and fashioned a crude cross. she explained that Jesus was actually nailed to a cross, and then he died. The little boy, with eyes downcast, quietly said, "Oh, that's too bad." In the very next breath, however, the teacher related that Christ rose again and that he came back to life. And the young boy's little eyes got as big as saucers. He lit up and exclaimed, "Totally awesome." My friends, this story is totally awesome. It is sad that some of us Christians have lost that sharp edge to our faith that we once had, so that the audacity of the truth of the gospel no longer quickens us as it once did. God spoke, and the world was created. God spoke, and a nation was founded. God spoke, and humanity was redeemed by the cross of Jesus Christ. But one thing more needs to be said. God speaks today, and we find help for the living of our lives. God, through the Holy Spirit, is. Have you ever heard God speak through the Holy Spirit? Sometimes he speaks to us in the beauty of the world he has created. Sometimes he speaks through the moving of the Holy Spirit and through the life-giving reading of the Scripture. Norman Vincent Peale, I once read a story he told of a woman who had a young daughter who went out riding on her horse and was thrown from her horse and killed. The mother had seen her ride away with her cheeks radiant and her spirits high. Now she saw her brought back with her eyes closed and her face stilled with death. That mother could not accept her daughter's death. She could not recover from the blow. Deciding to go away to try to forget, she went to a quiet place in the country. But the awful memory went with her. Then she sat in her room one evening, and she took out her Bible and began to read. She read the first psalm. Then, one by one, she read each of the psalms down to the very last word. She finished and shut the book. She sat quietly, lost in reflection. Then she said to herself, with complete conviction, "The men who wrote those psalms knew about life. They went through suffering just as I am doing, and they found the answer, and so have I." And at that moment, the faith that had meant so much to her through the years returned, and she was able to pick up her life again. Later, in talking with her minister, the minister asked her exactly what the reading of Psalms had done for her, and she replied, "They gave me the answer I was looking for, and I believed it. The God of the Psalms can be trusted." God speaks to us through his creation. He speaks to us through the reading of Scripture. Sometimes he speaks to us through public worship, and he speaks to us not necessarily through the sermon. Please understand, each Sunday I try my best to bring you some word from God. I don't have a special pipeline, though. I'm a human being. Even with my best efforts on any one Sunday morning, I may not be on your wavelength, and I'm certainly not on the wavelength of every one of you. God's word for your life may not come from the sermon. It may come from some of the wonderful music Daniel is providing for us, or it may come from the readings for the day, or it may happen simply in the stillness when we pray. But the most important thing that can happen to each of us is that when we have met together for worship through our virtual world of our website, we are able to say, God spoke to me today. And you know, if we empty ourselves and surrender ourselves completely to Him, I believe He will speak. And He will speak exactly the words, the feeling, the encouragement, the hope, and the peace, and the love each of us needs to hear in just that moment. God spoke, and the world was created. God spoke, and a nation was founded. God spoke, and humanity was redeemed. God speaks today, and we find help for the living of our days. May God let it be so this day. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us pray together, please. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. We offer you in this time of silence our prayers for forgiveness and our prayers for thanksgiving and hope and our prayers for those we love and even those who we do not know who need your special blessing. We know, O God, that you forgive us even before we ask. We know, O Christ, that your love for us is greater than we can ever fathom. And we know, O Holy Spirit, that your wind blows where it will. God, the three in one, whisper in our ears of your love and mercy as we need to hear it. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may stand for the blessing if you wish, my friends. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter, bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen. Go in peace, my friends. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.